Hi, thanks so much for saying please consider this. I'm Lisa Idris with me, Ishira Kitten. And joining the conversation now is Healthcare Administrator Dr. Koo Yung Kien. Yung Kien, thank you for joining us on the show. I want to begin by asking about test and trace. Those are key components of any national response to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Each country will, of course, have its own set of measures for testing COVID cases, for finding contacts, for isolating and supporting those with COVID-19. Where has Malaysia stumbled in our efforts to build an effective find, test, trace, isolate, and support system?
Hi, thanks, Lisa and Sharon. And good evening to the panelists as well. Well, that's a very hard question to answer, actually, because to my knowledge, I think there are many parts that we can improve. Initially, of course, testing is one of them. But before testing, we also have contact tracing. Contact tracing, like Helmy said, it's very important. It could be mundane. It is very tedious, very resource-intensive procedure or method to do. But if done correctly, I think it's a very effective method to close down clusters of infection. So what we know that the maximum incubation period is around 14 days. So what we do in contact tracing is to backward trace 14 days to find potential sources of infection. If we do this quick enough, we can either find a link to the previous clusters or prior clusters, and also better still to find others who are not tested yet, who could have just forgotten about the symptoms, did not go for testing. So the other part is also forward tracing. Forward tracing is to see those who have from the day of symptoms to the admission to see who has been potentially infected. Of course, this is important also to close down clusters. I think in the first two waves, Malaysia has enough or adequate resources to handle this. But we must understand that in every infection or cluster outbreak, we are already a few days behind the virus. At the day of onset, when the patient arrives at the hospital and get diagnosed, he might have gotten the virus 14 days ago maximum. So we are already 2 weeks behind at every cluster, every patient. So there's basically a race against time to close down the clusters. So if we have too many or overload of patients, basically if you do not have the resources to match the speed of the outbreak, you will get overwhelmed pretty quickly. Same as testing, actually. What we must understand that the process of test, track, and isolate is not a single point in the process. It's a continuous, it should be a seamless process. So even if we expand, say, testing, you know, recently we have news that the KKM is going to expand testing to up to 100,000, I think, of the PCR testing. You see local MPs trying to expand their testing by themselves, like offering RTK rapid test kit antigens to the constituents. All these are very good to get the number of infections on the ground. But we might understand that even if we expand the testing, but we do not have the sufficient support to receive the notifications, to isolate these patients, you know, the facilities, etc. So at every point, if there's a bottleneck, then we will get overloaded by the infection as well.
Okay, Yogin, because there are many debates and you see it raging on social media, test more or reduce tests, PCR versus the rapid test. Where do you stand on some of those debates? Because I think a lot of Malaysians are kind of confused, or a lot of distrust is being generated by these headlines, either calling for a reduction of testing and those saying, no, we must improve testing. Where do you stand on some of those debates?
I personally feel that we have to increase our testing because the virus is obviously in the community now. If we do not get a hold of the true numbers, it's very easy to lose track of where this reservoirs of infection could be at. It's easy to only test the symptomatic ones or the ones that presented to the hospital, then we can get an idea of the positive ones. But if we do not expand testing, surveillance testing, pre-surgery testing, etc., so we do not get the true situation, and if we do not get the true situation, any of these clusters of infection can outbreak suddenly.
But the other side of the argument has been this idea that you test more, the numbers will go up, and that will essentially create some kind of panic, or that we will have to be okay with numbers going up. As it is, you know, you can see numbers today, more than 3,000 cases today, has caused alarm bells. The idea is to reduce those numbers. But if we're testing more, we may find that the numbers continue going up. How do we reconcile this?
I think we shouldn't look at the cumulative tests positive cases too much. What we must know is the context of these cases. In every outbreak, in every cluster, to say there is an epidemiological pattern, some in the community, some in the migrant workers' dormitory, etc. So each of these clusters or outbreaks have their own patterns, and each of these subset, we can actually use different methods of prevention or isolation. So I think if we just give a whole number, it may obviously scare everyone that you say that, you know, consistently we have been four figures numbers these days. But if we break down into different subsets of the population, maybe we could make more sense of it. So it all comes back to what Helmy said, actually, transparency of data is very important. You want to build public trust, public health trust to everyone. So instead of withholding the information, we should share the accurate information so that everybody can learn from it.
Do you think, Yongkian, that we have the insufficient literacy about the disease not to panic? That when we see, say, Singaporean numbers of infections very, very high, but their death rates are actually very low, and it's because of, you know, kind of preemptive interventions in those reservoirs, as we call them. What can we learn from Singapore?
I think Singapore has done a good job in contact tracing, especially. There were initially the patients who came to the hospitals, it's a bit different from KKM. We do not have district health officers or state health departments. So most of the contact tracing, the testing are all hospital-based. So once we receive the patient, we actually do our own contact tracing initially to help reduce the load on MOH itself. As we did our work contact tracing, MOH actually built a better capacity. So now actually most of the contact tracing for any of the cases are centrally done now. So all we do is we receive the cases, we process them as usual, but the contact tracing is not done by MOH. So I think expanding capacity is very important. We should try to expand resources or capacity, not just manpower, facilities, infrastructure, like Helmy said, all the data, AI. I think MySejahtera and Sri Lanka actually are two very good initiatives by the government. It could potentially help to shorten a lot of these contact tracing isolation techniques if done properly and integrated properly.
Thank you so much, Yongkian, for being on the show tonight. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to all our guests who have joined us earlier in the show as well. That's all we have for you on this episode of Things to Business. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Thank you.